Father, I give you thanks for your word. It is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 16. Matthew chapter 5. From verse 1 to verse 16, that will be our text for this particular morning. But before we do that, as Graham pointed out, I love God's Word. There's something about this book, God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable and useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and instructing us in the right kind of living, so that the man and the woman of God will be thoroughly equipped to do God's work. You need this book. It is absolutely dependable, absolutely trustworthy. It is God's word. Jesus said, "Men shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Colossians says, Paul the apostle says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." There's something about God's word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the entrance of God's word in our lives will transform us and change us. This is God's word. Absolutely dependable. Thank God for this book. You know what I do with this book? I read it. I study it. I commit it to memory. I reflect on it. And I seek by the grace of God to apply it. Don't be merely hearers of God's word, but be doers of God's word. Put into practice God's word. Therefore, when you do that, it will change and revolutionize your life. Now, the passage that we're going to look at, Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed is those who are pure in their spirits, for they'll see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for they is the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read together Matthew chapter 5. Please stand with me. Let's read together from verse 1 to verse 16. I just gave you a bit of what I've committed to memory. "Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. May the Lord bless his word today. Please be seated. There are two significant days in your life and in my life. The first day is the day that you were born. That's why we celebrate our birthdays, isn't it? The day you were born, we celebrate that. The second day that is so significant in your life and in my life is that is the day you are going to discover the reason why you were born. In fact, it's so sad that most people, they don't know why they exist. They don't know why they're here on this planet Earth. But it's so important for you and for me to understand the reason for our existence, why God placed us here on Earth. And so Jesus, addressing his disciples, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down because he was about to tell them that which is so important in their lives. In Africa, as an African, if you are going to commit that which is so important, you don't do it while you are standing. You sit down. Now, sitting down is an expression that you're about to address something that is so, so important. And so Jesus, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. He was about to address that which is so critical in the lives of the disciples. He was about to set forth the foundational truth of the gospel of the kingdom. He was now declaring the manifesto of the sovereign ruler, ushering a new age with a new message. He was about to address something that is so important that you and I cannot afford to ignore. So he sat down. Second thing that he did, he opened his mouth. Friends, you don't just open your mouth anyhow. When you open your mouth, it means you're about to say something that is so important. That is why the Bible talks about we need to actually take control of our tongues. Most of us, when we open our mouth, disaster comes out of that mouth. We destroy relationships because when we open our mouth. But thank God for Jesus, when he opened his mouth, he began to teach them the manifesto, the principles of the kingdom, for them to become an influence in society. I want you to know that we can only bring Jesus to a broken world through our influence as God's people. So, if you are asking me what is the title of this message, I want you to know that you and I, we have influence in this world. You have influence. You have a reason why God placed you on earth. You have a reason why God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And your reason is to be an influence for the kingdom. We cannot bring Jesus to a broken world if we are not consistent in our walk with God. And so the Beatitudes, as an overview, helps us to understand our mission in life. That is found in verses 18 to 16, about whereby he says, you are the salt and you are the light of the world. So I cannot be salt and I cannot be light if I'm not in compliance and in alignment with what Christ has laid down in those Beatitudes. So the first thing that he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are these people? These are people who are consciously depending on God. They are so much sold out to God. They love God with all their hearts. They are so conscious that apart from God, they are helpless and useless. They need God. They are so poor that they express that poverty by calling upon God and dependence on God. And so the Bible says they're blessed. The second one, those who mourn. The mourn, those who mourn, the mourners. These are people who recognize their need and so present themselves to the one who is able to assist them. They are conscious of their shortcomings before God. They don't consider themselves as if they've arrived or as if they are perfect. No. They are constantly aware that, God, I'm a sinful person, broken, twisted, but I need you, oh God. They are so much sold out to God. The third one, they are meek. Blessed are the meek. These are the truly humble, broken and gentle-hearted people. They are so dependent on God. And then the fourth one, those who are hungry and they are thirsty for God. They have such a spiritual appetite for the things of God. They are not satisfied with the things of this life. They need only God. They are so desperate for God. Nothing else can satisfy them outside God. Only God is the one who can bring satisfaction in their hearts. So they are ever hungry and thirst for this living God. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. They are so much sold out to God. And so they are blessed that way. They are merciful, the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. These are not just takers, but they are givers. These are practical helpers who reach out and meet people's needs. These are people who are so sensitive. They know that what God has given them, they are also givers. As God blesses them, they bless others. They become a channel of just reaching out, praying for others, making sure that God is using them to touch other people's lives. The merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the pure in heart, these are those who are inwardly seeking to be clean, to be right with God. They want to be in good books with God. As David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked thing within me. They desire to have a pure heart before God. They want to be clean before God. They don't want anything to come between themselves and God. They want just to be in His presence, basking themselves in God's holy presence, seeking purity of heart. And the Bible says they will see God, not only in eternity, but they will see even God working in their lives, responding to them, because they are so much desirous of seeking God, the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for these are the people who show others how to have peace inside with God and how to be a peacemaker. They have peace with God and they have peace with one another. They have peace with those that are around them. And because they've got peace with those around them and they have peace with God, they're able to step out and seek to reconcile men, women, boys and girls into a relationship with God, because they are peacemakers. And the Bible says they are blessed. Now, because they do this, the Bible says they'll be persecuted. You'll be persecuted because you stand out for that which is right. The people possessing their above qualities, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers, then you are bound to be persecuted because you're different. You'll be persecuted because your qualities naturally stand out in the crowd, and therefore you will not be understood by other people around you, and therefore you'll be persecuted just as they did with the prophets. So having said that, now I'm sure you've received your outline as you walked into the church. There are four things that Jesus had to lay down as a strategy to influence the world, as a strategy to make a difference in the world. How can we make a difference in the world? How can we bring Jesus to a confused society? Well, Jesus gives us an outline of how to go about a strategy that will help you and me to become effective as God's people on this planet Earth. You and I, we have influence. Look at verse 18. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." And then in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world." So there he makes a presupposition. Now, a presupposition is a belief that takes precedence over another. It's taking for granted in advance, taking something for granted in advance. So Jesus is saying, yes, you are light, you are salt, but I want you to understand this. My presupposition that I'm making is that there is so much darkness in the world. There is so much rottenness in the world. There is so much decay in the world. The world has become filthy before God. And so you and I were privileged because we have influence. We can make a difference. What a privilege. What a privilege. So Jesus is saying, there's so much darkness. There's so much decay. The morals are no longer there. The world is twisted. They've departed from God. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. All have turned away. All have become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. And so all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of man who are suppressing the truth of God. So God is not pleased with us. So he makes a presupposition. There is so much darkness around us. In America, there's so much darkness. In Africa, there's so much darkness. All over the world. So, what does he do? He comes up with a strategy. He comes up with a plan. He says, "You alone are salt. You alone are light. I'm depending on you. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Come on my side and let's stop. Let's retard the darkness that is in the world." So the plan is so simple there. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to be light. And that's who we are as God's people. If you turn to the book of John chapter 17, verse 15 to 16. It's on there. I think it's on there. John 15. John chapter 17. John 17, verse 15 and 16. John chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. "You have influence. I have influence because God has made us salt and light." He says in verse 15 and 16 and then 18, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." Then verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." For what reason? So that we function faithfully, consistently, wherever God has placed us, and shine as light and function as salt to make a difference in this world. That's what God has called us to do. That is his plan. So the first thing that he says you are salt. Now salt has a distinctive taste. It does three things. It brings flavor into our food. It's salt. It's nice. It brings flavor. And so as Christians, we are to bring flavor in our relationships, flavor in our society, flavor in the marketplace. We are to show them that we are different because God has brought the difference in our lives the day we accepted his lordship in our lives. So salt brings flavor. Not only that, but it brings healing. In my days in Africa, in my home, my mother, when I was a little boy, would play soccer. Then by accident, I hurt my foot big time. I was bleeding that time. My mother came, I cried so badly, and my mother came, she took me home, she washed that wound, and guess what, we could not afford Betadine, so she took salt and applied that salt on that wound, and it was so painful. It stings. But guess what? It helped. It was necessary for the healing to take place. So you and I, we can prick the conscience of people out there by just the way we live our lives for Jesus. We can bring healing to those who are brokenhearted. What a privilege. You are salt. We can bring also preservation. Salt preserves. The days before the refrigerator came to Africa, you kill your goat or you kill your cow for meat, and they don't have a deep freeze to make sure that it's preserved for a long time. What did we do? We took salt. We applied it on the meat so we could preserve it for a long time. So you, me, we are there to preserve our society from becoming rotten. But what are you doing? We're letting ourselves down. We're letting our Lord Jesus Christ down by failing to function in our calling as salt and even as light. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, it reinforces that you have a calling, and that calling is to make a difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other, unlike that, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? So we're a fragrance. Out there in the world, we make a difference because we're God's people. Then, of course, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which talks about you and I, we are so special. We've got a special calling that God has bestowed upon you and upon me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It reads, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. For what reason? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, But now you have received mercy. So we have this special calling, and that is the Lord Jesus' strategy or his plan as he sees so much decay in society and so much rottenness and so much darkness. He says, you are the light. You are the salt of this earth. And of course, you know what light does? Light is a spiritual magnet attracting others to the Lord. And to be light is to actively pursue the dark places of pain, poverty, injustice, violence, and sin. That's what light does. In my country, we have serious problems with load shedding. This is a luxury to have electricity 24/7, 365 days. It's a luxury. Can I repeat that? It's a luxury in my country to have this all the time. So there's so much. So we have darkness sometimes. And some of them now are coming up with solar systems to try to fight the darkness. Because thieves, criminals, would take advantage of the darkness. So there is need for light. And our people are crying for power. We need power. We need light. When I wake up in the morning, early hours of the morning to go for my run, I have to take with me, I need light. I need light to see where I'm going to be running. Otherwise, there are so many potholes. So you need light. So Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Don't let me down. So having said the plan, he tells us the problem. There's a problem there. Look at verse 13 again. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salted again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. It's so easy for us to be contaminated, meaning we can be made impure or dirty by being polluted by the world. Let not the world around you squeeze you into its mold. We need to be different. It's so easy to be contaminated with the things of this life, and we lose our effectiveness, we lose our impact. Because we are allowing ourselves to be contaminated with the things of this world. We are not distinct as the people of God. And that Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. A people belonging to God, so that you show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a joy! What a privilege to shine for Jesus in my small corner, in my neighborhood, in my school, amongst my family members, to be consistently shining for Jesus and not being ashamed or embarrassed. What did Paul say? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Oh, you are missing out if you are not faithfully functioning as salt and light. Don't let the Lord down. Look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man and the woman who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in God's word. And on that word, what does he do? He meditates on the day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Evergreen, whatever he does, whatever she does, prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. They are miserable. They are empty. They are groping in darkness. They are crying out for someone to come and show them the way. And Jesus is the way. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life in him. Oh, thank God for Jesus. So the problem is a big problem. Compromise. Christians compromise a lot. And so when we do that, we are letting our Lord Jesus, who was crucified on that cross, we are letting him down. You can't make a difference in this world if you are not different yourself. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Radiating the glory of God. Because Christ lives within you. The last part of that strategy is purpose. What is the purpose of being salt and light? What is the purpose? He says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, right? All that. And then he said, instead, where did they put it? On its stand, so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before man, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. So the purpose is that God is glorified. It brings God pleasure. It gives him satisfaction when you and I are faithful in our calling as light and as salt. But provided we are in alignment with the Beatitudes, we are hungry for God, we are desperate for God, we are hungry and thirsty for him, we are seeking him all the time, then he says, when you function as salt and light, I'm so pleased with you. It gives me pleasure. It gives me satisfaction. That's the purpose. It reminds me of when these Beatitudes, after having this lesson, they were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, you guys are going through the book of Acts, right? They were told now to tarry in Jerusalem until they are filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they become witnesses. And what did Jesus say? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall become my witnesses. What a joy. What a privilege to be witnesses for the kingdom. Bringing Jesus to a broken world. We can do that. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. As we hold God's word in our hearts, we can do that. Not in our own strength, but in his power. That's why I think Ephesians chapter 5, as I conclude this, it says, and do not be drunk on wine, which only leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Radiating his glory, his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, and his self-control in our marketplaces, in our homes, in our relationships. You are the salt of the earth. Don't let me down. You are the light of the world. Don't let me down. Shine for me. Is that too much to ask? Consider what I did for you on that rugged cross. Just consider. We just had communion. A reminder of his broken body and his shed blood for your sins and for my sins. Is that too much to ask? Just to be faithful in serving the Master, giving yourself wholly to him, living for him, giving him pleasure. Well, the world's corruption will not be retarded, and this darkness will not be illuminated unless you and I function as salt. We are to be distinct from the crowd. Are you tasteful salt? Are you effective light? You, I here, we have influence. Shall we pray together? Father, forgive us for letting you down. Forgive us for disappointing you. Thank you for your clear call upon our lives to shine for you as light and to function as salt, to make a difference in our world that is so broken. Grant us grace. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. As you gave the apostles the power from on high, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is still available to us so we can go out into the world and be faithful to our distinctive calling of making a difference wherever you have placed us. In the name of Jesus, amen.